Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 12, John chapter 8. This morning's message is going to be one that's going to ask you to do some soul searching. By the way, every message ought to cause us to search our souls and our lives and cause us to draw nigh unto God so that He will draw nigh unto us. Amen? But this morning is going to be along that lines, and it's going to be a question that I want you to ask in several different areas of your life as you and I prepare to meet our Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare to go into eternity and give an account for our lives and reap the rewards for what we have done. See, the souls that we have encouraged or won to Christ, and see the missionaries we've helped and the things we've done, and see what our service in the church, how important it was to our Lord. Amen. In Luke chapter 6, if you look at verse 46 through 49, you find this: "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You see, if we follow God's word and do what He commands, there's blessings in store. We'll reap souls. We'll be used of God for the glory and honor of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't, well, the house we're building isn't very much, and it's going to fall apart when the end comes. Amen? And so we ask ourselves this question. It's a three-part question. You can entitle this message, "Why Not?" Now, I'm not going to go through every scripture. So I'm going to give you to go home and read for homework tonight or this afternoon. So for time's sake, I can get you out of here without keeping you so long that I lose you. Amen? And that. But I'd encourage you to jot some things down. But the first here is, why not? He says to him in verse 46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" When we meet the Lord and He begins to show us what He had commanded us in His Word, and then asks of us, why did you not do that? Why not? What impressed you to go against my word? What was more important than my word? Wow. That's a tough question, isn't it? But that's what will be asked. What was more important than doing what I had requested of you? What I had commanded of you? What I told you in my word? Luke 12. And if you would, look at verse 54. "And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yea, and even your own selves, judge ye not what is right." Christians are so good at looking at things in this world and figuring things out in this world, and they know how to invest their money, they know how to fix things, they know how to build things. But in verse 57, "Why even of your own selves, why even of yourselves, judge ye not what is right?" We have a Bible that tells us what is right and what is wrong. Now, people will throw that verse at you, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Well, see, it's not supposed to be your judgment. It's God's judgment. And when God has already spoken, we have the authority to speak what He has spoken. I've had folks ask me about certain things, and I say, well, it doesn't matter what I say about that. May I show you what God says about that? I've had folks say to me, well, I don't judge folks. I say, well, I don't either. But let me tell you what God says. He's already judged it. And we are to know right from wrong. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit.
We are to know right from wrong. We have a God-given, God-installed conscience that we're born with. Now, it can be seared, I understand that, but it's there for the Holy Spirit to use to bring us to God, to convict us, and to help us walk in ways that please Him. So I would ask you, or the Lord's going to ask us when we meet heaven, why not? Why didn't you judge right from wrong? Why not? Why not? And I want you to ask yourself, in an area of your life, I'm going to cover a lot of areas this morning. Not all the areas, but enough that you'll get the gist. What are you going to answer Him? I'm not asking you to answer me. I mean, I may ask you, and you may answer me if I'm concerned, and I'm concerned about your spiritual walk, and I'm concerned about you being the best you can for the Lord. And I may ask you, that's what I'm going to do as a preacher, but you understand that I'm just a man. I'm asking you on behalf of my Lord. And one day, He will personally ask you, why not? Why didn't you choose right? And the third one in John 8, in John chapter 8, look at me, if you would, at verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. You see, is your Bible God's word? Is your Bible God's word? You've got a KJV Bible, right? It's God's Word. Does it contain error? Y'all not answering me. Does it contain error?
No.
Do we really believe that? Because see, if we believe it, then we know that He spoke the truth, and we ought to follow it because we know He meant it. Amen? He says there in verse 46, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Oh, I can't tell you the amount of folks that I counsel. More that will say this than will submit usually. They will say to me, oh, I know what the Bible says, but that's disbelief. That's disbelief. I know what the Bible says, but I've had folks say, but this is a 21st century. It doesn't change it. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's forever settled in heaven. Do we believe it? And so I want to ask you a series of questions on why not this morning. Why not? And some of these are going to be basic, and most of you here have already got the most of these settled, but I think if you'll listen, there'll be some things here that God may speak to you about that you're going to say, you know, that's an area I need to get ready to answer my Lord in. Amen? Because you don't know when you're leaving. You just don't. Look at Acts chapter 6, if you would, before I go to a word of prayer here. Here's my heart's desire as a preacher. I'm not doing this morning trying to beat you over the head. I'm not trying to knock you down. And what I'm trying to do is get you to look inward and then get you to look upward. It's because I care about you. You see, when I come to a message, I first ask the Lord, what do you want me to preach, Lord? And what do the people need? You see, verse 4 says in Acts 6, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. As a pastor, I pray and I get in the Word and I try and say, God, what do You want us to hear? Oftentimes, I'm preaching to myself as well as to you. What you can't see is how bruised my toes are when I step on them during some of the messages. Amen? But the Word of God is for every one of us. And so I want you to, Lord, this morning, I want you to do this because I care this morning. I not only want to see you in heaven, I want to see you there with the full reward. I want to see souls there because you were encouraged to follow the Lord. And that's the heartbeat of this message this morning. So as I go through this morning and I ask these why not, I want you to really ask yourself. I want you to picture yourself standing before the Lord. And what are you going to answer? Jot these questions down on paper. And when you go home, if it's an area you're struggling with, ask yourself, what am I going to answer the Lord for that area? What am I going to say? Because we will give an answer. Our sins under the blood, but our works we give an account for. Father, I ask now this morning that you would take this message, Lord, and use me as a vessel of honor. Use me as your mouthpiece this morning that you've called me to be. Use me to challenge the hearts, to stir the hearts, to cause those that are here to look within ourselves this morning and ask ourselves, what am I going to say to the Lord concerning these areas? What answer will I give Him if I didn't do what I knew was right, what I knew He commanded? What will I answer as to why I did not believe Him when I read it in His Word? Oh, Father, the flesh longs to distract us. The world is distracting. And the devil is a deceiver and the father of all lies. And they'd like us not to think about those questions. He'd like us to put these questions out of our mind. But Father, your Holy Spirit wants to deal with our spirit and wants us to think about these things this morning, Father. So speak to our hearts in any area of any of our lives that you need to get our attention. And I pray you will this morning. I pray the lost to be drawn to Christ and the saved to be drawn closer to you, that you can draw closer to them. I ask in my Savior's most wonderful, precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first question obviously has to be about the gospel. If you don't have that one answered right, none of the rest matter anyways. You can be religious, you can go to a church, you can be baptized, you can go to some church, be altar boys, you can be deacons, you can be preachers, you can be teachers, you can be heavily involved in service without knowing who you're really serving. Without knowing it, there are religious folks that are actually serving Satan. But they wouldn't think that because they're in church. They're in religion. They think they're serving God, but they've been deceived. You can only serve God when you know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only go to heaven when you have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first why not is, why not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to John 3, and of course you have to go here when you're talking about how much God loves us. But God does love us. Look at John 3, for God's, in verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why won't men believe that God loves them that much? Why does the world not want to believe that God loved them enough to send His Son? Why do they want to think it requires something else? Look at verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But look at verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that belief brings a change to your life. It brings reality that you now belong to God. You've been forgiven and you owe Him your life. It brings reality that He made you a new creature. That He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? He wants to use you here, and then because He's forgiven you, He wants to use you in heaven. We're not going to sit in heaven and just sit back and drink a cup of tea under a palm tree in the shade. We're going to serve God in heaven too. Of course, we'll have a new glorified body, so it'll be a lot easier. Amen? But we're going to serve Him here and there. But you have to get to heaven before you can serve Him. You have to be saved before you can serve Him here. Why not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans 5, verse 6 and 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God died for us because there's no way we could overcome our sin on our own. There's no way we could live without sinning. It's in our nature, the fallen nature, the depravity of man. And so while we were yet sinners without hope, He came as our hope. He came to become sin for us, He who knew no sin. See, God says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death for those that don't believe. But those that believe, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." I thought about that verse this morning when Steve was going with Joshua there and the conquerors of Jericho. And I thought about Rahab and her house being spared because of her faith. You see, you got to believe. Believe causes an action. See, when I believed I was lost and I believed I needed saved, I stepped out of the pew and walked down an altar and quit pretending, quit trying to convince folks and said, "Listen, I need saved. I'm fooling everybody else, but I ain't fooling God." Amen? And it caused an action. I could not sit where I was anymore. I had to get it straight because I believed I was condemned and I believed God was willing to forgive me. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And so it caused an action. And once I got saved, because of that belief, my life changed. But what does God think of those that won't? Let me first of all tell you that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. Listen, the world's in a mess. And what's happening in the world right now is terrible. Why is God putting up with it? Because He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't blame God for what's happening in the world. Blame depravity of man. Blame the devil. Blame man for following the devil. Amen? Don't you dare blame God. God's the deliverer. He's the overcomer. He's the one that gives a victory. He's long-suffering. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you've been here and you're sitting here, but you're not saved, the only reason you're still able to do that is because God is long-suffering. But this could be your last service. Now, as far as I know, everybody here is a regular crowd, but listen, the morning I was there, I was a regular crowd too in church. I mean, I came fairly regularly. I wasn't there every single Sunday because by that time I was trying to get out of it. The religion part, amen? And by the way, when I got saved, I did get out of religion. And I got into a relationship. It's a difference. What does God think of someone who won't come to Christ? Let me ask you, if you're here without Christ, be ready to meet the God, and the questions He's going to ask of you as to why you would not come and believe on His Son. Why you would not accept the payment of His Son and His blood and His death on the cross for your sins. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. You see, you're here, you're hearing it, and those of you that are here have been here and heard it time and time and time again. And so if you walk away from it, there is no excuse. Hebrews 10 and verse 26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, if we hear it, and we hear it over and over and over again, and walk away from it, that's not God's fault. For there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you don't come by way of Christ, there's nothing that can pay for your sins. Nothing. Church can't do it. Baptism can't do it. Reading your Bible will draw you to Him, but reading the Bible without faith won't bring you to Christ. Giving your offerings, teaching, working, preaching, singing, playing, cleaning, whatever you do in the church is void if you don't know Christ. He says, but instead of that, when you think of death, let me ask you, what do you think about? Are you looking forward to meeting God and going to heaven? Or is there a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries? Now see, if you're born again, you're not God's adversary. You're His family. But if you're without Christ, He calls you His adversary. And He's going to win. Judgment's coming. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath come the blood of the covenant, wherewith He was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This morning, He's speaking. He's drawing. But if you say no, you're doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. You're trodden under foot the Son of God. You're not counting the blood holy. You're rejecting it just by not receiving it, by not coming to it. You're turning from it. For we know him, verse 30 says, who hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, when he says people are, he's speaking to the Jews, or the Jews here. And the Jews don't go to heaven just because they're a Jew. They still need Christ. Amen? They may be God's people, God's nation, but without Christ, he still rejects them. Those Jews that come to Christ have a double blessing, as far as I'm concerned. They're part of Israel, and they're part of God's family. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? But it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What are you going to say? When he says, why would you not receive my son? Why not? If you're here without Christ, what's your answer? Well, I didn't know what my friends would think. I didn't know what my family would say. Well, it would mean I'd give up all my fun. I mean, Christians don't have any fun, right? All they do is go to church and sing songs. If you don't know the half of it, we have a lot of fun. And when we lay our head down at night, we go to sleep in peace. Amen? And we know that. What's your answer going to be when he says to you, why not? Why would you not believe my son? Why not? What are you going to answer him? Listen, hear me. This may be the day you meet him. This may be the day you meet God. Can you promise me you won't meet him today? Can you give me a guarantee? I'd be careful to make that statement. If you make that statement out of boldness and pride and you make it, it's only by his grace and mercy. Amen? None of us knows the day. In Matthew 12, verse 30, our Lord said, he that is not with me is against me. Either you're saved or you're lost. There is no middle ground. There is no purgatory. There is no holding place for you to take care of that. Either you're saved or you're lost. In Revelation chapter 20, we read those who reject Christ, what the final judgment will be. Look at me at verse 10 of those who reject Christ. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, from the unknowns in the gutters to the palaces of the rulers. They're all going to stand and meet the same God, equal ground. They'll be standing shoulder to shoulder, side by side, one by one, be called to meet God in front of all God's creation. Small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. That's the book that contains their sin. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. By the way, if you're in Christ, you were dead, but now you are quickened. Amen? You're not dead. But the spiritually dead who have rejected Christ, that's those dead who are judged out of those things which are written in those books, according to their works. And the sea gave the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the only way your name can be in the book of life is if you come by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally believe it's probably written there in his blood. That's just my personal belief. But you've got to have your name written there. Amen? By coming to Christ. And if not, God is so angry that there is an eternal destruction, a lake of fire that will go on without end, where you will burn for all eternity, forever and ever and ever, for rejecting God's Son. And all you have to do to reject him is not receive him. All you have to do to lose it, to not have it, is to not believe him. But if you believe, he'll do the saving. So if you're here this morning and you have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you meet God, he's going to ask you, why not? I would ask you to go home. I would ask you this morning, not to even go home yet, during this message, think to yourself, what answer will I give? And if you realize there's no answer I can give, which is the only answer you can come to, you can come to Christ this morning. Amen? You can surrender. Now, let me speak to the Christian here this morning. To the Christian, Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. Do you believe that, Christian? Now, I'm not going to turn and read this, but here's some homework for you to read. Would you jot down 1 Corinthians 3:9-17? And in light of this message, would you go home and realize that you're going to either suffer loss or get rewards for how you've served Christ? It's either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. But I will ask you to turn to Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 for a moment. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You should not be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The rest of these questions I'm going to ask you this morning are for believers only. And they're designed with a purpose to get you to the place in your life where you can bring fruit unto God. What Christian doesn't want to serve God and bring fruit unto him? Can you think of a more blessed way to say thank you than to bring fruit unto your God? And as a pastor, Philippians 4:17, I can say what Paul said here to the Philippians. I say to you, in Philippians 4 and verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Listen, as pastor, I want to see you in heaven and know that you're saved, yes, but I also want to see you stand there with a full reward. I want to see you stand there with souls because of your walk with Christ, because of your involvement in His church, because of that you were able to draw souls to Him and point souls to Him. I want to see fruit to your account. I want to see you, if I'm still here 5, 10 years from now, the Lord blesses me, and I'm still alive and able to see you, I want to see you still serving God. I get sad when I meet someone who I know once served God and I talk to them and now they're not doing anything. Saw some folks yesterday that I was able to say, oh, good to see you serving the Lord. This message this morning is designed to get you to think about these things so you can be the place in your life where you can bring fruit unto God. Fruit that remains. Fruit that abounds. So the first question as a believer is, since you have been saved, had you been baptized? And if not, why not? Why not? The Great Commission is given to the church, and this includes you and what God wants us to do with you, but we can't do it unless you submit to it, and you can't go beyond that until you submit to it, and then you can go to the next point. You don't go to second grade, you complete first grade. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. That's the church. That's you and I. And teach all nations. That's the gospel. And baptize in them the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. At the first thing after they're saved, the God says, teach them that I want them to identify with my Son in His death, burial, and resurrection. And then when you've done that, teach them to observe all things which I've commanded you along with you always, even at the end of the world. Amen. God's first step of obedience for a new Christian is identify with me. Get baptized. Confess me publicly in a baptismal service. Tell the folks, I'm not what I was. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven. I've been saved. I ain't perfect yet, but I ain't what I was. And I'm identifying with Christ, and therefore I'm identifying with the local body, and I'm not ashamed to do so. Whoso serves a call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Romans 10, verse 11. Whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. See, turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. Concerning baptism, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If we're not willing to follow in baptism, we're sinning. It's disobedience. That's rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you say no to God, That's rebellion. The same way when a child looks at their mom in the store and mom, can I have that cereal? No, but I want that when I'm... Or no, don't do that, but I'm going to do it anyways. That's rebellion. Right? And we are God's children, are we not? And so he says, don't sin. God forbid. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we can do whatever we choose. Amen? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Listen to what he says in verse 3 now. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. By the way, that's why baptism scripturally is one time, backwards, under the water completely, and then raised up to his glory. I have never been to a funeral and watched them throw a little bit of dirt, a handful of dirt on somebody and walk away. I've never seen them turn somebody over on their face and bury them down and raise them up and bury them again and raise them up and bury them and raise them up. That's not scriptural. It's one time, backwards, buried with him, raised with him, right there in verse 4, in the likeness of his resurrection, the newness of life. For if we have been planted together, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. This is what baptism does as a Christian. It identifies me with Christ. I'm not ashamed to do so. I'm not ashamed to say I'm his. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And so God says to you as a Christian, if you're not yet baptized, why not? If you've been saved for any amount of time at all, and you meet God, that's the one of the why nots he's going to ask you. Why were you not baptized? When you meet him in heaven, and he says, and you were not baptized, and he says to you, why not? What will be your answer? Number two, the church. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for the church. So how faithful are you to the church and its services? You see, if you think, well, I don't need everything going on down there. Okay, he died for it. It's his church. When you meet him and he says, okay, so why weren't you? Why didn't you think it was important to be there and hear the message that I had prepared for the church? Why not? What was more important than hearing what I had to say to you? Well, I was just tired and just wanted to rest. Hey, I was dead dog tired yesterday over there at that team rally after revival all week long. I mean, I was tired. I told my wife, you got to pinch me or kick me if you see me starting to nod off. Now, thank God I didn't nod off, but I took some vitamin C drops to keep something in my mouth so that I wouldn't nod off. They work. I usually have Tic Tacs, but I forgot to bring those with me. But I was tired, but I still knew there was something God had for me to hear there. And I knew it was important for our teams there. I was tired. I was tired this week, a couple of nights during revival service. It was a busy week. I know you all worked all day long. I was tired. But wasn't it good to be here? And let me tell you something. The service you miss, we're all searching for answers from God, aren't we? We're all looking for victory. And the service you miss may have been the key he had to unlock that door to your victory. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The early church, it was such importance. They met every day. Because of the persecution and what they were going through. Listen, my friends, are you watching the world today? If ever we needed each other, it's now. If ever we needed to encourage one another, it is now. That world is wicked. Technology is wicked. You can't go shopping. You can't go walking down the street. You can't turn on your radio. You can't turn on your TV without being confronted, can you? Listen, we need church. We need to join the church and get active in the church, be in the services, finding our place of service, because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how important it is. And if you can skip a church and think it's okay, when you meet the Lord, He's going to say, well, why not be there? Why not? What was so important that you had to skip out on me? Number three, why not read and study your Bible more? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study the scriptures, proven of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? We're to study it. We're to apply it to our lives. We're to find out, well, who was God writing to? What was He writing about? What was going on here? What did He want from them? And what does He want from me in this portion of Scripture? And apply it personally. It's a personal book. He's a personal Savior. Amen? The Holy Spirit is personal. He dwells every one of you that are saved. Amen? It's a personal relationship. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Psalm 19 and verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now the law and the testimony is His word. Amen? The statutes of the Lord, that is His word, are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord, that be His word again, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is Thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Isn't that wonderful? Do you consider the Word of God of greater value to you than gold? Gold's not going to buy you any favors in heaven. Now the gold you send forth because you're obeying the Scriptures can be used to say thank you. Amen? But the gold here, you ain't taking with you. You're not. You're not going to buy off the Lord. So the only way you're going to know what's coming and what He expects of you is to get into this book, learn it, read it, study it, memorize it, apply it, and submit to it. Number four, the Word of God is a great tool for us to know what to do. But we still need strength, don't we? Why not pray more? Prayer is our secret weapon. When we go to the Lord in prayer, you know what we're doing? We are admitting to the Lord that we can't do it without Him. We're humbling ourselves. Prayer is humble. When you come to an old-fashioned altar and you pray, you're saying, Lord, I can't do it without You. I must come here. I don't care who knows it. Lord, I need You. When you go to your prayer closet and you bow in your prayer closet at home in your prayer time and you say, Lord, I can't do this without You. Do you realize how much power you're obtaining? He is nigh them with a broken heart. Amen, a contrite spirit. When I am weak, He is strong. And the devil's fearful of a Christian on their knees. We need to pray. Look at 1 John 5. God wants you to pray because He wants to encourage you. You know how God encourages you when you pray? He answers your prayers. Isn't that encouraging? The God of all creation. If you listen to the reports now, they're finding so much more out in space. And our universe is not compressing. Our universe, they find that, is expanding at great rapid rates. The solar system, whatever you want to call it out there. And they're discovering new things all the time. They're looking for a planet like Earth that they can find life on. The only place you're going to find life on is heaven. Amen? That's beyond anything they're going to find in this life. But listen, the God of all this, that created all this, that we're just still trying to discover, amen? We'll stop and listen when you pray as a Christian. The God keeping all the planets in orbit and keeping the sun burning and keeping gravity working and keeping the air going and just keeping your heart beating to the very minute charges of your brain cells that are triggering your thoughts and your actions and
and your movements right now. We are so fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. The God that keeps the waters bound in the shores. The God to keep the stars in the skies. Yet He says, I want to hear from you. Over 7 billion people in the world, not counting those that are in heaven that He still cares about as well. And He says, I want to hear from you each and one personally. But if you were to write the president, do you realize he probably wouldn't get your letter? It would go to his office, but someone else would probably read it and possibly even answer it on his behalf. Do you really think that when she was alive, Ann Landers read all the letters that she got? I never liked her advice anyways. It was all worldly advice. But do you think she would ever... No, they have folks that read them and may pass a few of them along on to them. They filter them out. You know, if you go to a place of business, they have secretaries. Not anybody can walk right in there and say, I want to see so-and-so. Whoa. Do you have an appointment? Who are you? I'll see if he wants to see you. Now, if you are family of someone, maybe it's your parents or your husband or that they're in the business, and you walk right in, you say, I'm going to go see so-and-so, and they know that they're to let you right in. Amen? That you have access. When you belong to God, you have access. And your prayers don't get filtered and go to somebody else who says, well, I don't know if God wants to hear this one. I think God will take this one. I'll answer this one for God. No. Holy Spirit interprets them to Him in words you can't utter, but they go directly to God. Amen? And He directly answers them Himself. He may send a messenger with the answer, but it's His answer. Amen? And so look at 1 John 5, if you would, here. 1 John 5, verse 11 says, this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the Son of God, the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. It doesn't stop there, though. And we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He wants to answer your prayers so He can encourage you. Now, He won't answer your prayers if you're not walking with Him. Amen? If I regard iniquity in my heart, thou wilt not hear me. Amen? But when you're walking with Him and you're serving Him, He hears and He answers your prayers. Listen, if anything gives me great assurance of salvation, one of the best things is when God answers my prayers. Amen? And I know I'm His. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. So we should be praying more and more. Even the armor of God is to be applied with prayer, Ephesians says. In Matthew 6, and I'm not going to read this to you, this you can write down, but Matthew 6, 9 to 13, you have the roadmap for prayer. Now you don't repeat those words as a vain repetition, but it gives you the outline of how God expects to be approached, what He wants you to think about while you're praying, and what He wants you to do with others while you're praying. Amen? And what He wants you to bring before His throne. Prayer is important. If you don't pray, why not? I mean, you're going to stand before God and say, God, I tried, but I failed. And He said, well, why didn't you ask me? Why didn't you bring it to me? Why not? Lord, I wanted to make that right with that person, but God said, why didn't you bring it to me? I wanted to get victory over that sin. Well, why didn't you bring it to me? Why didn't you ask me? Why didn't you ask me? Number five. Why not give of our tithes and offerings? Now, I have some of the best givers I know of in any church right here for what the income levels are and what comes in here. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm sure there are still some folks in any church that aren't always doing what they should there. There are those that do, and thank God for those that do, and there are those that just don't have enough faith to do it. If I give that to God, how am I going to make my bills? If I give it to God, what am I going to do for myself? What am I going to eat? What about my retirement? What about this? Turn to Malachi in the Old Testament, the end of your Old Testament, towards the back of your Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Who here would admit that they're going to plan to rob God? Going to get my gun out? Going to hide? Going to wear a mask? We'd say no.
That'd be stupid to try and rob God, right? Right? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You see, when you hear of a need and God has enabled you to meet that need, He expects you to do what He encouraged you to do. Now, if He doesn't encourage you, if He doesn't speak to you on that need, that's one thing. But when God says, there's a need, please don't turn a deaf ear. In the offerings, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. What does God want you to do? Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, here with saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there should be not room enough to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord God Almighty. Amen? It's the God of all creation. The God that parted the Red Sea. The God that walked on water. The God that healed the sick and raised the dead. The God that brought money out of a fish's mouth. The God that turned and took the bread and the fishes and fed 4,000, not counting women and children, and 5,000. Amen? And I can go on and on and on. That's the God that said He'll take care of you if you'll do what He asks by faith. See, if you try and put it on paper and figure it out, it ain't going to work. You got to do it by faith. When you try and figure out if somebody can walk on water and put it on paper and show me how to do it, it ain't going to happen. Our Lord did it and Peter did it. Amen? You try and put on paper how you can raise the dead who have been dead for 4 days, you'll never figure it out on paper. Amen? That's the God that we serve. 1 Corinthians 16 says this concerning the church. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week. I met somebody, by the way, in the store earlier this week, and they used to come here years ago, and they're going to a Seventh-day Adventist church now, and I said to him, hey, I've been missing down church. He said, oh, no. You don't go on Sundays, you go on Sabbath days. I said, really? What did the Lord say about the Sabbath? He said, man was made for the Sabbath, and the Sabbath made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And I said, when did he tell the church to me? When did the church meet? He said, well, I don't know everything. I said, well, I quoted to him this verse here, upon the first day of the week when they met. And he just said, well, my mind just can't gather all that. And he walked on away from me. Amen? Listen, you got to answer him with the Word of God. But anyways, this is collections. Upon the first day of the week, that's when we come together for church. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God prospered him. There will be no gatherings when I come. You know when the best offering is in the church normally? It's on a Sunday morning. Because that's when we gather. Now, we're to come back Sunday and Wednesday night, but usually we've already given. And unless God stirs our heart for something else, which He does, and we put more in, we've already given, right? Now, the offerings say, well, you know, I gave this morning, but God opened my heart to put this in. Now, if you can't be here on a Sunday morning because you're sick or something prohibits you that you can't control, well, then you put it in when you do come. Amen? I've had folks show up at the house for me and say, I haven't been in church for a long time, but I want to give them my tithes and my offerings. Will you put this in for me? And I tell him, well, sure I will, but you know, God much rather have you. Now, if He has your heart, He'll have your offering too. Amen? I said, but He doesn't want you just giving to His house and not showing up. Be here and give. Number five, the next one, F, letter F on my outline here. Why not go soul winning? One of the most least attended, if not the least attended activity in the church is soul winning. Of any church. Oh, listen. If a church is going to grow, it's got to go. They need to see our members heading out regularly. In John 15. And I'm going to some familiar scriptures here, but I'm just trying to encourage you in these areas. In John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Let me ask you, if you're not going to try and win souls, if your life here isn't being used to reach souls, then why should God keep you here? Why watch you go through all that agony and misery and all those failures you're going to go through? If you're not going to try and reach souls, why not just take you on home? There are a lot of Christians that have gone on home for that very reason. They're of no earthly value to the Lord because they are so carnal and so stubborn that he will not turn. And he says, well, then I may as well bring you on home and change him. And they go home ashamed. They go home empty. They go home with no reward. They're still saved, yet so as by fire. He says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You see, when you start bearing fruit, there's going to be trials in your life. There's going to be things God's going to say to you, great, you're bearing fruit. Now, how wouldn't you like to bear some more fruit? Then let me do some things in your life in this area. Let's get this area straight in your life. Let's get this area straight in your life. Let's work on this area. And every time you let God purge an area of your life of something he wants to change, you become more fruitful. Isn't that what we want? My desire is that you have fruit that remains, fruit to your account, right? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken you. I'm sorry. He taketh away the best fruit. He purgeth that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Sometimes I get discouraged in my life and I think, am I making a difference? I mean, you look at the church and you go through things and you see folks come and go. But then I stop and think of the folks I've been able to see come to Christ. Family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, strangers. Over the last 39 years. And I think of what they're doing for the Lord now, many of them. And I think, there's some fruit, even some fruit that remains. I know that most don't follow through. But I thank God for the few that do. Amen. If you abide in me, verse 7, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. There's that prayer again. God says, I want to answer your prayers. I want to encourage you. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So the Father is glorified in verse 8 when we bear much fruit. Why wouldn't we want to? Listen, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins the souls is wise. So if you're not involved in soul winning, that would be unwise, because when you meet the Lord, he's going to say, why not? Why weren't you involved? Why not? When I told you, put a track in that person's hand on my behalf, speak up and ask that person, hey, are you ready to meet God? When I said to you, hey, it's time to go down and knock on some doors. There's some folks going down to church, and you can be there. Go knock on doors with them. I find out when they're going out. And if you can't go out then, say, hey, and I've done it before, hey, preacher, I'm not going to be around on that night, but is there anybody you need me to go see for you? Amen? And they would say, oh yeah, here's so-and-so, you can go to, or you can go knock on this street. Amen? And you go out there, listen, why not? If you know it's wise, what God left you here for, what your purpose is for, then why not do it? Well, I'm scared. Welcome to the club. We're human. So it's never easy, folks. Man, it's never easy. But boy, when one comes to Christ, it's worth it all. You ever want a soul to Christ? Isn't it a joyful thing? Didn't you get excited about it? Oh, listen, James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Did you ever win somebody to Christ? We were praying for somebody and someone else actually finally reached them. Then you rejoice in that. Your prayer had a part in it too. Amen? You put a track in someone's hand. I can remember a guy named John at work years ago. And to put a track in his hand during the first Gulf War, he went home that night and read. We talked about some things. He went home and read it. I told him to come back and the next day. We talked about it at lunchtime again. And when I saw him the next day, he was already smiling ear to ear. And I said, John, I'm going to ask you, but I think I already know the answer. Did you read that track I gave you? Oh yeah, Herb, I read it. I said, did you do anything? He said, yeah, I got down on my knees and asked Christ to save me. And I said, what'd you do next? I always want to know that. It's a good sign of fruit. He said, I went and got my wife. And said to her, honey, you got to read this. You know what track it was? God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Amen? And he read it. She read it. She said, well, I did that when I was just a young girl, but I've been away from a long time and I've been needing to come back. He said, will you help me find a good church in the Harrisburg area? Oh, what a blessing. Rob, and he was having his stomach taken out from cancer. And I was there the next morning when he came to. He was in too much pain to talk, but I put a track in his hand. And said, I'll come see you when you're feeling a little better. 2 weeks later, me, Steve, and Josh stopped in his home to see him. And he had that track. He'd been trying to read it, and he'd been rereading it and rereading it. And he asked me. He said, will you help me understand this? Oh, what a joy it was to lead him to the Lord in November. And by April, he was home with the Lord. I've still got a picture on my desk to encourage me. Boy, I'm glad I went that day. I could have slept in that morning. I had other things I could have done, but God said, I want you to go to Hershey today. And I want you to go see Rob. And I did. I can tell you time and time and time again. Seeing my own dad come to Christ. My father-in-law come to Christ. My grandfather come to Christ. Seeing my children come to Christ. Listen. Seeing family members and friends. Folks, it just gets better and better when you're winning souls. Now, devil will fight you. I understand me. He'll try and discourage you. But you want to get even? Go out and win another soul. Oh, listen. Win souls. Listen, here's some more homework for you. If you think it's not important, if you think you're too busy, if you think it's not your job, go home and read Ezekiel 3, verse 17 to 21, and Ezekiel 33, verse 6 through 9, and see where God says, if you don't do what I've told you about reaching souls, their blood's on your hands. And what are you going to say then when he says, why not? 2 points. Number G. And this gets more down to soul winning. I'm telling you what, I mean, I'm sure I hit some folks at baptism and church more with Bible reading because we can always do more of that in study and prayer and the offerings. And soul winning, I know I hit a bunch. I just know what we are. But now I'm going to talk to you about how to make your soul winning more effective. How to make your life more effective for Christ. And that is the next question. Why not separate yourself unto God? Why not be holy for He is holy? Why not get in line with what His Word says you should be? And then you are the epistle written and read and known of all men. You are an ambassador for Christ. And when they see your life and they begin to, maybe they may be ridiculing you, but they're ridiculing you because they want to know more. And some will actually question you, well, why do you got to do that? And you can tell them what Christ has done for you. Separate. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God says he speaks to some of us, some of us have the knowledge, and he speaks to our shame. It ought not be. We ought to be living in a way that our lives back up our words. I know we're not perfect, but listen to what he says here in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Who are you running with? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, because of this, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Stephen's going to the book of Joshua in the adult class, and I expect next week we get to, you'll probably be on Achan, won't you? In the near future. What was Achan's sin? He took the accursed thing that God said not to take. Just one Babylonian garment. Just one, for memory's sake, just a little trophy. Mm-mm. God said, no! And you think, well, yeah, but I don't have to separate in every area. Why not? Show me what area that you can find in God's Word you don't have to. Right? When you meet Him and He says to you, why not? Why wouldn't you separate from me? See, the more you separate unto God, the closer you draw unto Him, the more He draws you, the more He fills you, the more effective you are. Don't you want to be effective? Don't you want to reach more souls? Don't you want more family in heaven and more co-workers and neighbors in heaven? Don't you want God to be glorified because you bear much fruit? Amen, Pastor Herb. Thank you. the idea behind this. Listen, in James 4:4, he says this. Listen to what he compares friendship of the world to. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? You see, who's your bridegroom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're running with the world instead, you're an adulterer and adulteress. That's what he's saying here. You're not being faithful to him, right? You're being unfaithful. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, we're to reach the world, we're to be friendly towards the world, we're to show them that their sin is sin and that Christ died for their sin and will forgive them, but we're not to do what they do. Anybody want to say amen? Amen. Thank you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Here's how you're going to do it. By the mercy of God, that depends on your body, the living sacrifice. God knows it costs you to be separated. If you choose to separate any area of your life from the world, you will pay a price for it. Ridicule, rejection, you'll lose some friends. It's a sacrifice. But God said it's also holy. It's also, he says, acceptable unto God. Isn't that what you want? And then he says this now, which is your reasonable service, because he bought you, he owned you, you owe it to him. And be not conformed to this world. And boy, that's hard to do now, because everything you have around you is designed to conform you to this world. The schools, the media, even on your jobs, the diversity trainings and all the things they do in your place, is designed to get you to conform to what they want in a one world order. Thank God my Lord's coming soon and going to take me out of this mess. But until then, we're to stand out and be different. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove to the world, to those that are watching you, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To yourself, yes, but to the world, those that are watching, your testimony has an impact. They may reject it at first. They may ridicule it first, but there will be those that will watch you and will say, that's what I've been looking for. Please tell me. I've been watching you all these years, and I want to know, how do I get it now? And boy, that's so sweet when they say that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have not of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That body is not yours to do what you choose. It's His. Amen? What you put into it, what you allow into it through all the senses is important. What you allow to come out of it is important. By the way, what you put in is what will come out. So let me ask you, why not separate yourself unto God? Listen, preachers aren't trying to control your lives. We're trying to make you more effective. We're not trying to make your life harder. We want to make your account more rewarding. Amen? We know it's a sacrifice. We've been there. We've faced the ridicule. We've faced the rejection. We know. We've been there. We've been where you're at. We've walked that road. When I began to change as a Christian, I had a lot of folks. And my wife began to change. A lot of folks began to think, what in the world's wrong with you all? Nothing. This is what's right. And you're more effective. And you'd be amazed where God would take you with your life if you would separate more. It's His command. So just let me give you my last point, which covers the other points. The why not that concerns anything else in your life as a believer. You say, what do you know about me? Listen, friend, it's not important what I know or don't know. And I don't go digging and prying. God already knows it all. He's the one you're going to meet. In Hebrews 12, listen to what he says in Hebrews 12 concerning any area of your life that God is dealing with you. And it may be a point I've mentioned. Maybe it's something that I haven't mentioned that if you, maybe it involves in separation, something God wants you to change. Something else maybe. And you're just struggling. Listen to what Hebrews 12 says in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's chapter 11, all the great hall of faith. That went through these things and were victorious. Amen? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That thing that you're resisting God in is a thing that's holding you back from being all you can for Christ. It's a weight. It's holding you back. It's slowing you down. It's keeping you from finishing the race like you ought to. Let's lay aside the weight that's so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, track and field. When you're on track and field, and you're learning to run a track, you learn to wear a lightweight outfit that doesn't weigh as much. You learn to wear lightweight sneakers that don't weigh as much. The more weight you have, the slower you're going to be in that race. You understand? And we're to lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us and the sin. And every one of us here has something in our life that if we would give it to God, we could be greater used of Him. Every one of us, because I'm not looking at any perfect people, and you ain't looking at a perfect preacher. We should pray one for another. We should encourage one another. We should be more separated for one another for the cause of Christ. Our Lord said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't know what to do, if you've got an issue in your life, you're saying, what about it? Go to the Scriptures. Or go ask someone for some Scriptures in that area. 2 Corinthians 2, again, we had it earlier, 2:15. Study to show us or prove unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's in here. Amen? The answers you have are in this book. You got to go look for them. You got to go ask God. It's part of prayer again. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, I'm trying to find out what God wants me to do. This is my life. Well, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now, when you come and ask God, don't have your answer already made up. Just say, Lord, show me what the truth is in this area of my life. Show me what you want from me in this area of my life. And then let him speak to you. Sometimes I've had folks ask me questions there. I tell them, do you want me to tell you what I think you want to hear or what you need to hear? Most folks want to hear what they've already decided. Thank God for the few that say, no, I want to know the truth. Because I want to get it taken care of. Every one of us have things in our life we need that with. And so are you ready to meet God? What about these why nots? Maybe God's spoken to you this morning. Why not come use an old-fashioned altar? Why not, if you need to talk to me about something, or need to talk to someone about something, about salvation, or maybe come and submit for baptism, or maybe come and join the church, why not do that today? Why not start soul winning this week? Why not read your Bible more and pray more this week? Why not determine in your heart that you're going to separate more this week for God? Why not that thing that God's telling you right now that's holding you back, why not come lay at an altar now and go for God? Why not? You see, when you meet Him, I'm just His messenger, folks. You understand that? I'm just His mouthpiece. He's going to ask you. He's going to ask me. Individually. Me based on my life, you based on your life. He's going to ask, why not? Wouldn't you rather hear him say, well done, in that area? Well done, you were baptized. Well done, you joined the church and you got active. Well done, you were faithful in the church services. Well done, you read your Bible and you studied it and you learned it. Well done, you prayed to me, I knew you. You came to me every day. You came to me at everything. Well done, you were involved in soul winning. Well done, you were separated, you had a testimony. Well done, you laid aside that sin that be the best of you. Well done, you finished the race with joy. Well done, here's a full reward. Wouldn't you rather hear him say that? Oh, I'd rather hear him say, well done, than why not. I trust I've encouraged you this morning. I trust you'll think about this, and I trust you'll respond. Father, have your way in the invitation. Lord, I've done my best to do your bidding. And I pray that I have done your bidding as it would please you. And now I pray in the invitation of the Holy Spirit's bidding
would find ears and hearts that are hearing. Christians that are saying, yes, I want to be more effective. Yes, I want to bear more fruit. Yes, I want to hear God, meet God and hear Him say, well done in my Christian life, Lord. If there's any here without Christ, oh, I pray they come for salvation this morning. Those that need baptism or to join the church, I pray they come this morning. Those who need to come to the altar, I pray they do so this morning, Lord. Lord, have your way in the invitation, Lord. As only you can do, will you draw them through your Holy Spirit. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.